Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
He covers the Browns for the Chronicle Telegram. You can read all of his fine work at brownszone.com. He's Mr. Scott Petrak. Hello, Scott.
Hey, Scott.
What's going on, guys?
Oh, it's a Monday, and it's not the day after a game. Always kind of weird. Isn't that a weird feeling?
It is weird. The rhythm of the week that goes out the window.
Yep, absolutely the case. Kevin sounded refreshed. David Njoku's always open. Just ask him. Are you trying to get me to say altitude? I thought he was in rare form today.
Yeah, I don't know what it's probably got a little bit of an attitude. Not attitude, but I don't know
spunk.
If he wanted, didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
I don't know if he wanted a longer weekend. I don't know. But wasn't very forthcoming, not that he is.
Scott, I just think we're sitting here, we're trying to answer questions, and, you know, they have three wins this year. We got people calling and going, well, I think maybe they shouldn't win any more games, and they're looking at the schedule. It's going to be tough to win games for the rest of the season anyway, but just your general thoughts on where this thing's going right now, because I don't have answers, and, like, I really don't feel like there's a long-term answer that we're used to, that, like, well, we can just draft a quarterback. That doesn't feel like it's in play.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I mean, you guys know the roller coaster of this league. When the team loses a game, it feels like it's never going to win again. When it wins one, it feels like they're never going to lose again. So I don't know what these last 6 weeks hold. You know, if they play like they did against Pittsburgh or Baltimore, they could beat some of these teams. They could go to Denver and win, certainly. They could also lose them all. So I don't know. I'm not one of those guys that thinks you should lose for the draft pick. I think that's a bad idea. I think it's bad for culture, all those things. So you should try to pile up as many wins as possible. I certainly think drafting a quarterback's in play if, you know, they decide that there's quarterbacks worth drafting. And I haven't done a deep dive on these quarterbacks. I know the consensus is that it's not a strong quarterback class, which could and probably should affect if you draft one, depending on where you're drafting. So I think all those questions will be answered later. But right now, it's about trying to string together some quality performances, which this team has been unable to do. Hasn't won two straight all year, and they have the opportunity to do that in Denver.
Scott Petrak joining us, Chronicle Telegram, brownszone.com, where the featured story right now says personality, leadership, key for Jameis Winston. What has he shown you the last couple of games? More importantly, what has he shown the organization about what his future might be here?
Yeah, I certainly think he's shown that this offense operates differently with him. that it's a threat. And it wasn't a threat for the first seven games. We all know they didn't score 20 points in any of those games, struggled to put up 300 yards of offense, just never felt like it scared the defense. And I think that's different with Winston at quarterback. He can throw to all areas of the field. He gets his receivers involved. He gives them a chance. There's trust there. You know, there's certainly mistakes, and that's, you know, what Jameis has been prone throughout his career, too many turnovers, and I get that. And we've seen that crop up in his four starts. They're also 2-2 in his four starts. They have three of their highest yardage totals in his starts, and I think that means something. And as far as future, we just don't know what this quarterback room is going to look like next year. And I certainly think there's a chance that he could be one of the guys here, whether that's week one starter, whether that's a backup to a rookie or a bridge guy. I don't know how that plays out, but I don't think you can just dismiss Jameis Winston as a possibility.
A name you didn't mention there was Deshaun Watson. And yeah, you might have seen Albert Breer from Monday Morning Quarterback, and he was on the Prime game on Thursday, mentioning the Browns will plan to bring in competition for Deshaun Watson next year at quarterback. And I just thought, oh my God, that's a terrible way to end up. And how are you going to convince somebody who you think could be a good starter to come in and compete? That report, I'm sure he got it from a good source and everything else. Scott, that sounds like a disaster waiting to happen to me.
Yeah, I don't like that idea. I understand the reality of the situation and the fact that they're paying him a ton of money, and that even more important than that is the salary cap hit that the Browns would have to take, or they are going to take. And if they cut him, it'd be, you know, rolled forward and all those things. Like, I get that reality of it, but I'm with you. I don't like the idea of saying somebody has to come in and beat out Deshaun Watson for that job. Now, you know, could you do it with Winston? Could it be Winston and Watson, you know, with the competition? Yeah, that doesn't do a whole lot for me either. I just think it's tricky how they're going to handle the entire Watson situation. I thought when we talked to Andrew Berry during the bye week, the tone to me was not Watson's going to come in and compete. It was, we got to figure it out, and he made no promises that he'd come back and be the guy. You know, he said he could still be here. You know, there's always a chance or whatever that quote was. So I think they're still working through all that. Maybe just right now they don't want to make any firm decisions and label it as he's gone or he's not going to be the guy. You know, he's still in the building. Maybe that's a nod to him. And, hey, you're doing this rehab. We're not going to close the door on you. But I do think that'd be a bad idea. And I think you're right, Jeff, that it would certainly limit who you could bring in if it were really a competition. That would limit who you could bring in.
Scott, we all know that the Browns have made television history before by being the first ever Monday night game that was ever played against the Jets. Now they've made history again for being the first team flexed out of Thursday night football with the Bengals. Demoralizing for the front office? Demoralizing for players? I mean, I can't imagine that makes them feel real good that they got bumped.
Yeah, that's interesting. We haven't been in the locker room since. Sure. We're not in there yet today. I don't know. I mean, I think it's a little bit of a blow to the ego, the collective ego. But, I mean, it's reality. They're 3-8. I know they played well on Thursday night. It was a fun game to watch. And, you know, them against Cincinnati would be a fun game, too, I would think, regardless if it's Sunday or Thursday. But Cincinnati's part of the equation, too. You know, they've been on TV a bunch, and they're 4-7, right? They're probably not going to the playoffs. So I think you just combine that and – the Broncos Chargers, a better game for, you know, if you don't live in Ohio.
True.
It's interesting to me how Bo Nix has stepped up. And, you know, Sean Payton was looking like kind of a disaster out there. And now all of a sudden, Denver's looking like a pretty good team, Scott.
Yeah, I mean, they had some pieces last year. There were obviously issues with Russell Wilson, a quarterback. Yeah. He and Sean Payton just did not coexist well, and they did not mix, and I'd be really curious to understand why, because I think Russell's a smart quarterback and he can make a bunch of throws, and we saw him make some good throws Thursday night, but whatever it was, those two guys did not I would say get along. And now Peyton's got his guy. They drafted him. He's a veteran rookie. I know that's kind of paradoxical, but guy played a long time in college. Yeah, I watched a bunch of the national shows this morning, and they talking about him being the best of the rookie quarterbacks. And I think he was sixth taken, I think. He's having a good year, and they're winning games. So I think it's going to be a challenge. That place is hard to play. You know, it's hard to play in Denver always. It's going to be hard on a Monday night when they're winning. It's going to be loud. Sean Payton's got a quarterback he believes in, and we've seen that, you know, with Drew Brees, and we saw it with a little bit when he had Winston in 2021. And when he's got a quarterback he trusts, Sean Payton is usually successful.
All right, I'm going back to the TV questions because I like having fun with these. Hard Knocks, AFC North debuts Tuesday, December 3rd. Any buzz around there about, you know, just even the cameras being in there? And I don't know. I don't want to say it's influence, but I can't imagine that the Browns storylines are going to be real big in Hard Knocks in this last month. But I would think they'd be the fourth story, although maybe Cincinnati a little bit. I don't know. You tell me. What's the feeling on Hard Knocks? I know the cameras are up in there, right? They've locked down some cameras inside the building?
Yeah, they showed up last week, at least, in the media room and in the locker room. I saw them at the practice today. And I probably should ask Kevin Stefanski that today. I don't know. I'm sure he wouldn't have given a great answer. But if it's a pain to have those cameras here.
Easy, Menigan.
Yeah, I mean, I would think, like you said, the Browns would be the four story. But, I mean, Jameis Winston's great. You know,
that's true.
You follow Jameis Winston around. I mean, that's an interesting topic. Miles Garrett, we know he's how interesting he is and how well he's been playing lately with the three sacks in two of the last three games. So I think we'll see, I think we'll see enough Browns. But, you know, with that win calming things down Thursday, and not that it needed to calm things down necessarily, but, you know, without any kind of drama, I would think the Browns would get the least run of the four teams.
The other part of that Albert Breer report was that Stefanski, Barry, back unless, you know, catastrophic things happen here down the stretch. You buy that one?
Yeah, I mean, I've been getting told that too, but it's so hard to tell. I mean, there's six games left, right? If they go 3-14, if you got to open up the door again for possibilities. But everybody's talking about it last week, and I didn't think, you know, especially Stefanski was in danger. You know, I wrote that he shouldn't be in any kind of danger. So I think the ownership wants continuity, wants this stability. We know they extended these guys right before the season, you know, or in the off season. So their inclination, I feel, would be to stay the course. But I think just like with the Watson thing, you have to let some things play out, and then you take a step back and you evaluate. And again, I think Stefanski deserves this job. I think you can have a discussion about Andrew Berry's overall roster management and talent evaluation, but I think he's a big part of why this team has gone to the playoffs in two of the last 4 years, and why there is stability, and why we talk about this roster being capable, you know, a playoff caliber roster. I know it hasn't played like it this year. So I think that's a nuanced discussion, but I think the organization would lean toward keeping those guys as well.
Scott, always a pleasure, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, guys.
Scott Petrak, Chronicle Telegram, BrownZone.com. BrownZone.com, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Talking about Jameis Winston and his play at quarterback for the Browns. And Andy, I agree. The offense just looks better. I mean, there's some juice to it.
I think there are a couple things that are going on here. One, I do think Jameis Winston is playing better than Deshaun did. And maybe he's healthier. That's one of the little things I'll say. Two, the offensive line looks significantly better with a quarterback that gets rid of the ball as fast as Jameis does. You know, and then three, you know, we've seen the emergence of multiple wide receivers since the Amari Cooper trade. I think all of those factors have led to a better offense.
I would agree. And, you know, we chatted earlier about the Breer report about quarterbacks and compete and all that stuff. I wonder if Jameis continues to play fairly well, if that would even be of any interest to him. If, in fact, that's a legit
Seem like he's having fun here. I'll give you that. But
but what if
fun and money are two different things.
Right. And what if he plays really well and
plays himself right off the team? Is that what you're saying?
Well, either A, plays himself off the team, or plays well enough that he wouldn't even think of the idea of coming back and being the
backup quarterback again
here, where he outplayed the other guy.
unless he wants to be a two, if that's the scenario that's going to be played out. Again, you talked about level of, are we going to have competition? I hope so. I hope they have competition to figure out who the starting quarterback is next year. I hope they choose the man with the most talent to be the quarterback. The unfortunate part about the last two seasons is it's been the guy they brought in middle of the season after injury. That's unfortunate.
That is unfortunate. So we'll see. Just stay tuned. He has a lot more games to play. I think it'll be an interesting game for him coming up on Monday, playing the Denver Broncos, where Sean Payton is now the head coach, and Sean Payton was in New Orleans, brought Jameis in. Jameis credits Drew Brees and Sean Payton for really helping him drastically.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious to see what will happen in that game. If you happen to watch the Sunday night game last night, you saw what happens when a really good running back plays on a really good offense with a good quarterback and a really good offensive line. And that's Saquon Barkley rushing for 255 yards. He was great. And a couple of big, long touchdown runs that almost seemed more fluky to me, Andy, than great, because he busted out of both of them pretty early, you know? I don't know if any 70-yard touchdown isn't fluky. I mean, look at what the Commanders did against Dallas yesterday in the final minute with Terry McLaurin. That was wacky. That whole game was wacky. And we're going to touch on that in a second. But the game by Saquon Barkley got people rumbling about Most Valuable Player Award. And if you think about it, why can't a running back win the Most Valuable Player Award? The last one to do it was LaDainian Tomlinson in 2006. Saquon has been a difference maker for that team. And every most valuable player in the NFL since then, oh, I take that back, it was Adrian Peterson in 2012 and then LaDainian before that in 2006. Every other one from LaDainian on, other than AP, quarterback, of course. You know, the quarterback is almost always considered the most valuable player on that team, which, whether it's the real deal or not, it's just kind of the way it goes. In this day and age of the passing game in the NFL, even though you're starting to see some kind of turn back to the running game a little bit, could Saquon Barkley be the MVP?
FanDuel thinks so. He's got the third best odds.
Nice.
I think so. But again, he's surrounded by quarterbacks. He's the only running back in their top. I'm trying to find the next running back, even Derrick Henry. And he's way down the list.
And Derrick's had a good year, but he's not having a Saquon year.
He's like 14th best odds. Otherwise, everybody else is a quarterback. And those guys are, they go all the way down to Bo Nix before you find somebody else who isn't a running back. T.J. Watt.
You mean quarterback?
Yeah, not a quarterback. Sorry. So two running backs. I'm just looking. 1, 3, 6, 9. Sorry, I didn't do math on the air.
Do you think he could do it, though? I think he could. He's almost at 1,400 yards rushing already through 11 games.
Josh Allen's tops, Lamar Jackson second, then Barkley's third.
And averaging 6.2 per carry. That's a lot. Double-digit touchdowns. He's not alone there. Some of the other guys have double digits. Derrick Henry does, and Jahmyr Gibbs in Detroit, Joe Mixon. David Montgomery's close. Montgomery has 11. James Cook has 10. But it's that rushing total and the impact that he's had on that Philadelphia Eagles franchise that makes me think, yeah, this might be the year it happens. You know, it's not going to be Patrick Mahomes this year, do you think? And the Chiefs have only lost once, but they keep defying kind of logic, Andy. You know, they had a rough game yesterday. You wouldn't think that they would need what they had to go through to beat the Carolina Panthers, but they did. It was 30-27.
But you knew they were going to win at the end of the game. It was like only Carolina scored too early. That was the problem. I mean, they marched down the field, and you're like, oh, this thing's... And then, boom, they scored too early.
Are the Chiefs as good as they were? Are they as good as a 10-1 team? I kind of think so.
Show me when they're not, and I'll believe it.
Well, see,
at the end of the season.
Yeah, that's the thing.
You know what's weird, though, Jeff? Like, the MVP is all about quarterbacks.
Almost
for,
always.
For FanDuel, right? But the regular season offensive player of the year, Saquon Barkley has the best odds.
Well, I don't doubt that.
Yeah.
But it most valuable and best are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Depends on, you know, how you actually want to... You want to take it verbatim? Who's the most valuable player? Then you figure it out. Wasn't necessarily the best player that year. Although you would think that that's the case, right?
It's hard not to give the MVP to a quarterback. They touch the ball too many times.
Like on every play?
Yeah. Although I don't see a lot of centers winning MVP, so.
Funny.
Thank you.
I think the Chiefs are every bit as good as we think they are, but they're a little different than they used to be. You know, other than yesterday, getting shredded for 27 points, their defense has been really good. Their offense, I think, has been more balanced than ever before. Patrick Mahomes isn't throwing for tons and tons of yards every week. His wide receiving crew is kind of pieced together after losing Rashee Rice early on and then never having Marquise Brown. Hollywood Brown.
DeAndre Hopkins looked pretty good yesterday.
Yeah, but he only caught, you know, for 35 yards.
Well, they only threw it to him six,
but he's been
him
a
six
nice,
times.
He's been a nice addition. That was a nice get for them. You go out and get a guy like that who's a pro. He's the, you know, you could say he was their wide receiver pickup of Kareem Hunt. You know, hey, we need somebody. Who can we get? Hey, Kareem was here before. He's very good. He's led the league in rushing. Terrific. Let's go get Kareem. Great. And he wasn't on a team. Well, we need another wide receiver. Well, let's go get one of the best in, you know, the last 10 years, DeAndre Hopkins. Let's bring him in. He's a veteran. Won't take him long to get going. And he's been a really nice help for them. And so I think they're a team that you look at and you think, yeah, even though the offense isn't maybe what it was, and not that it's bad, and not that it's not capable of dominating a game, it just hasn't been what it was. And I think that's kind of interesting.
Do you think the Browns should have brought Kareem Hunt back? I'm just looking at that Kansas City offense.
Well, in hindsight, it sure looks that way.
I mean,
because they did not.
In eight games, he's got 577 yards.
Andy, they didn't commit to anybody.
He's got two games of more than 100 yards.
With Nick Chubb out, they didn't commit to Foreman. They didn't commit to Strong. They didn't commit to Ford. Now, those guys all, you know, dinged up a little bit. They had their moments.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
If you enjoy deep dives into solved and unsolved murder cases, then Murder True Crime Stories is the podcast for you. Find Murder True Crime Stories on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But I think it's kind of hard not to think that maybe they shouldn't have brought Kareem back. Jim's in Solon, home of the Comets. What's up, Jim?
Hey, Jim.
Hey, I'm a lifelong Browns fan, so I'm very thankful that there are a lot of really good teams in the NFC that could stop the Lions from going to the Super Bowl. But I'm wondering why Jared Goff is not in that conversation for MVP.
I think he was,
I thought he was number one.
Yeah, I would think he is, Jim. We were just talking about a running back as MVP. We weren't eliminating anybody. We just thought, could a running back in this day and age be the MVP?
So I'm sorry, Josh Allen's number one. Jared Goff's fourth.
So thank you. I heard you saying all the names, and I just didn't hear his name.
Just doing top three, top four there. So it's Allen, according to FanDuel, it's Allen, Jackson, Barkley, and then Goff, and then Mahomes after that.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
All right, Jim. There you go. People don't want their guy to be slighted.
It's okay. I'm all right with that.
I think the Lions are one of the best stories we've had in the NFL in a while. And are they the team to beat in the NFC? I would think it's the Lions or Philadelphia right now. Vikings are also 9-2, just like the Philadelphia Eagles, and I don't think they're getting enough credit for being 9-2. You know, they had Addison go off yesterday and Sam Darnold throwing for 330 and like three touchdowns, and Justin Jefferson, I think, caught two balls. You know, so they're showing a little with Aaron Jones in the backfield. He's been really good. They're a team to watch. I don't think anybody in the NFC West is a threat. I don't think anybody in the NFC South is a threat. I think you're looking at Detroit, Minnesota, and Philadelphia, and that's about it. Maybe Green Bay. Dan, had to throw in your pack.
How do you not?
You wouldn't?
You won't?
Oh. I wouldn't.
How come? Won two in a row. Can you get happy?
That offense is sputtering. The passing game is sputtering. I mean, Christian Watson dropped a pass that hit him in the helmet. There were a couple passes that were thrown behind. It seems like the passing game is not on the same page. They have figured out the run. They took the triple option Malik Willis stuff that they were running earlier in the season and decided to do it with Jordan Love, and it's working out a decent amount. But the passing game just seems clunky. And until they get that together, what are we doing here? The defense didn't take the step forward I thought it would this year. Rashawn Gary has been kind of a letdown.
Romeo Doubs got hurt.
Which is a big deal, too. Again, they can run the ball well, and the defense holds up decently. But, boy, until they get that passing game on track, they're a step below. They're in a tier below all those other teams that you laid out.
Team to beat in the AFC, is it Buffalo? Is it Kansas City?
I think
Buffalo, right now it's Buffalo.
Buffalo beat Kansas City.
Yeah, right now it's Buffalo.
I think Buffalo. I have Kansas City concerns.
They don't look quite the same, but I think they look different. And I don't know if different is better yet. Their defense looks really pretty good.
They don't have a pass rush.
But their defense has been pretty good. Yesterday, no. They gave up 27 to Carolina.
It was weird how they couldn't get to Bryce Young. You think if anybody, you'd be able to get to Bryce Young. And I know that the Panthers' offensive line is better than you think. But boy, it was odd that was happening. They were like double-teaming Chris Jones and like Karlaftis couldn't get home. It was a weird one.
Yes, it was. Fal, our buddy from the Browns Radio Network, joining us at 1 o'clock here on Baskin and Phelps. I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy over there is Andy Baskin.
Mm-hmm.
If you've listened to the show, you know we've had the former coach of the greatest show on turf on the show many times, Mike Martz. And it's wonderful that Dan has developed a relationship with Mike Martz, and Mike seems to enjoy tolerating us and talking to us. And Mike works with the 33rd team. And the 33rd team is that website that Joe Banner, former Browns head honcho, was instrumental in putting together.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to their website right now, they have a headline that says, "The 33rd team launches professional services offering."
Okay.
This is kind of interesting, and it says, "What we offer: NCAA advisory, executive search. Our team connects you with top leadership candidates and uniquely designs a process to ensure the right candidate is hired."
Hmm.
Negotiation, another thing they offer. And I think it's kind of interesting because, you know, the 33rd team, we kind of thought was just like this big football think tank of folks who produced, you know, stuff to read on the internet, right?
Correct.
And they have a bunch of different experts and contributors. They have Chuck Pagano, former NFL head coach, Jay Gruden, Mike Martz, Dave Wannstedt, which I think is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Former front office people, Mike Tannenbaum, who was with the Jets, Joe Banner, Rick Spielman, who was with the Vikings, and of course, Rick from Massillon, and Jeff Diamond. And then they have a bunch of contributors to their website, and these are more media folks who have written and contribute stuff, and they do all that kind of stuff. And then they have some former players and current players who are involved. Amon-Ra St. Brown is one of them. Rondé Barber, Rich Gannon, Equanimeous St. Brown, so the St. Brown brothers are there, mm-hmm. and Ross Tucker, who's been on the station a lot.
Sure.
Would you hire what looked like a website to kind of help you in some of their services that they're now offering.
Would I hire them? Yeah. Why wouldn't you? They're all guys that understand it, and you're asking them to consult you. They're not telling you exactly what to do. You're hiring them as a consultant. And would you would make recommendations based on what your criteria are to help you find the right candidate.
All right. Would you hire Joe Banner to find a potential general manager for the Cleveland Browns?
I would like to know Joe Banner's thoughts. It wouldn't bother me to know what he thinks. Okay. I don't have to listen to him, but I think it would be interesting. And I would also want to know that does he coincide with other groups in that world that are like, you know, they're hiring the right guy. They're hiring the right guy. They're hiring the right guy.
That would be like hiring Rick Spielman to find an executive for the Minnesota Vikings. And he was just there. Or like hiring Mike Tannenbaum to find an executive for the New York Jets.
Which is exactly what's happening, according to multiple reports. The Jets are retaining the 33rd team to support them on their upcoming general manager and head coach searches.
What?
Former Jets general manager Mike Tannenbaum, Vikings general manager Rick Spielman, will lead the project for the NFL technology and media company. Getting this from Adam Schefter, but it's been seen a couple other places too. 33rd team will provide data analysis and experience to assist the Jets in searching for new leadership.
I took a long time to get there, but I thought it was worth the payoff. Dan was fabulous.
Oh, great job, dude.
Yeah, I got that going for me, which is nice.
Really good, Dan.
I don't think there's anything wrong with this at all. How many times have we seen before where teams will turn and have former, like baseball does it all the time. How many former managers have worked for the Guardians/Indians over the last year? This stuff happens all the time.
Former manager, I get. But the guy that you canned because you didn't like where he was taking your franchise.
You thought that he didn't do a good job for you. Now you're hiring him to help you find a guy for his old job.
Right. That's the part where I'm like, wait, what?
Wait? It's like, you know what? The Browns need a new GM. By God, get Ray Farmer on the phone.
I'd still listen to Mike Holmgren.
By God, get Mike Lombardi on the phone.
If you could take the emotion out of Lombardi and take all the personal...
Oh, Mike's incredibly sharp.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. But are you hiring him to...
To help you? Help you.
We need
That's
a new coach.
Key.
Get Hugh Jackson on the phone.
You can look at it from another way. If you says hire the person, you don't. You learned that they weren't going to be the right person for the job.
Oh, that's
Maybe
harsh.
That's it with the Jets. Maybe you're onto something. This could be the reverse psychology
harsh.
Of it.
So,
Tannenbaum likes this dude.
That was harsh, Andy.
Sorry.
Very harsh. Very harsh. Thanksgiving's coming up on Thursday.
Last time I checked, that is true.
Do you have any Baskin family Thanksgiving traditions? I can honestly tell you, I think it's my favorite holiday.
When I was young, it really was my favorite holiday, and I think... before the kids got older, it was my favorite holiday. Now I enjoy it. We went to grazing style 2 years ago.
Grazing style.
At my
style.
Nephew's
what does
house.
That mean?
No, what, we don't.
Are you, cattle?
We don't do the formal.
We're
meal
the Baskins.
Anymore.
We're cattle. What does that mean?
What is his deal?
What does grazing title? What's grazing?
Where have you?
You
we talk about
down
this
at
every
table?
Year. Yo, the food's up all day. If you want to go eat it, go eat it. They say turkey around 4:30. We're going to my
so
nephews
you're stuffed
again this
by
year.
The time you get out at 4:30 for the.
No, and that might be why turkey is overrated because you are stuffed because you've eaten other things before you got to the turkey. I agree with you on that. I'm with you.
When I was in Texas, one of my best buddies down there, he was an only child. His folks were great, great people, and they kind of adopted me as their second son.
I went through this in Montana.
So I would go there for the holidays.
Yeah.
And it was great fun. And it really meant a lot to me. It really did. It was very, very nice of them. I know my folks loved the fact that I wasn't spending Thanksgiving by myself. And that was really cool. And I thought it was so nice that I actually, there was somebody I worked with at Channel 43 back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know what? And we were friends. Just friends. And I invited her to come to Thanksgiving dinner at my house because she didn't have anybody go to Thanksgiving dinner with.
I have the same story, pretty close.
You know what the reaction was?
What?
What? That's really weird.
Wait.
I mean, why would I go to Thanksgiving? I'm friends with Jeff, but why would we go to, that's weird.
Wow.
And I thought, come on, man. Just trying to be nice. Extend a little holiday spirit.
I will never forget. I was 21 years old in Montana, Like, I was just about
21 when you got to Montana?
I was just about to turn 22.
Dang.
And I'll never forget my first two or three Thanksgivings there when I was out there, and I was just like, Ray Eckness and Patty Corrigan. Patty was from Cleveland.
Nice.
Met them, and they were like,
the name Corrigan, she was from Cleveland.
I know, isn't
I'm
that crazy?
Stunned.
And hopefully someone will send him a cut of me saying this right now, but I will never forget being able to, you know, do Thanksgiving at their place, and felt like a Cleveland Thanksgiving
nice.
To me, you know?
Yeah.
You never
and it
forget
meant something
that
to you.
Yeah, there was a photographer named...
I tried to pay it forward, got nothing.
Yeah, that is weird. Maybe it's just your technique.
Would you like to come to Thanksgiving at my family's house? I know you don't have anyone to have Thanksgiving with.
Nope. I'd rather do, like, one year we did Christmas, 3 hot dogs for $1 from the Circle K. That was a bad one. My roommate and I, and they weren't even the good hot dogs. They were like the ones that were like colored on the outside. That's like a Charlie Brown Christmas, or like a most pathetic Christmas you could ever have.
My buddy whose family took me in on Thanksgiving and on Christmas, I think one or two times I couldn't make it back for Christmas. He always told me, I started there November 1st. So, you know, you're not going to come home 3 weeks into the job for Thanksgiving. So I didn't. And cafeterias were a big deal in Texas.
Oh, for sure.
And we went to this one cafeteria.
I can smell it
A bunch of us on Thanksgiving.
Did you smell cafeteria?
After doing the 6 o'clock, and we're all sitting there eating dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And my buddy Neil, told me later, he goes, I'm sitting there looking at you, and I'm thinking, here's this poor bastard sitting here in Texas after 3 weeks in. He doesn't know what hit him. And I'm sitting there eating Thanksgiving dinner off a plastic tray.
Whatever it takes, man.
That's what I thought.
Whatever it takes.
Didn't faze me, but he was like, this poor son of a gun.
It's about being around family and friends and arguing. That's what it's really about.
Arguing.
If you're with your family.
A Baskin family Thanksgiving. Hi, let's graze and argue.
You think we're the only family that does that?
No, I don't think so.
Are you kidding me? I mean, I'm not going down this road, but you don't think that the majority of the dinners around this country aren't going to have something to do with politics? I guarantee you that every Thanksgiving dinner this year, there will be family members that are on different sides of the aisle, completely different sides.
I may or may not be going.
And it's going to be really uncomfortable.
I may or may not be going to a Thanksgiving dinner on Thursday that will be missing family members because of politics.
Oh, are you serious?
I didn't stutter, did I?
No, you didn't. Wow.
You have any family traditions food-wise? We have the famous Phelps family stuffing. I have to stop on the way home and buy some stuff.
Oh, my wife makes this unbelievable sweet potato casserole. It is phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Interesting. My dad made this stuffing that his dad made, and I guess his dad made or whatever, and it's really flavorful and really good and really gives you bad gas.
Well, thanks for sharing, Jeff. This segment brought to you by GasX.
But it sure is good. Just kind of stay downwind from everybody after that.
Thanks.
Tyvus Powell.
Running out with the family this year? Amodi Mandy.
Coming up next on Baskin and Phelps.